I want to invite you to take your Bibles out today, and we're going to start in Matthew chapter 12 this morning. And then I also want you to go ahead and find Psalm chapter 2, Matthew chapter 12 and Psalm chapter 2. We have been dealing with the subject of a really interesting subject of angels, satanic activity, and physical territories. And I kind of started teaching on the spirit realm and to give some explanation to UFOs and UAPs and all the stuff that government has been focusing on, trying to get an understanding. And what we figured out is these were angels that are breaking into the atmosphere. That led us down a track, and I don't even know how I got on it, but I can't get off of it, and the Holy Spirit will not let me get off this issue of redeeming the land. I have tried to get away from it all week long so I could go on and preach something else. But here's what I've learned about God. When the Holy Spirit is on something, you stay on what the Holy Spirit's on till He gets off of it, because that's where revelation comes, right? So let's go back to Matthew chapter 12, 24 through 29, as we're believing God to liberate our territory, to bring heaven to earth in Cookeville, Tennessee. If you're a guest here, we want to welcome you. Thank you for being here today. You're awesome. And after service, Pam and I want to meet you right in the cafe, and you can get a free gift. We got hats, t-shirts. It's just our way of saying thank you for coming. So everybody in here for our preach, give our guest a great big God bless you today. Thank you for being here this morning. All right, Matthew chapter 12. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out devils, but Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand?" Let me just say this. If the church try to cast out the church, it's divided against itself and it can't stand. We got to have unity in the body of Christ. Listen, if the dynasties of darkness have to have unity to carry out their agenda, you and I have to have unity to carry out our agenda. It's the reason Psalm 133 says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, for it is there the Lord commands. Everybody shouts commands. God commands the blessing when the church comes together to take a city. He says, "If I, Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." I said on that point on verse number 28, the proof of the manifestation of the kingdom of God is the expulsion of the demonic. It is not a good revival service. Amen. A good revival service does not mean the kingdom has manifested. It means you had a good church service. What means the kingdom of God has manifested is when darkness has been pushed out of a territory. How else can one enter a strong man's house except he first spoil his goods and except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Thank you, son, for playing with me a little bit today. I want us to go now to the book of Psalm chapter 2, because this is where we're really going to dive into deep this morning. Psalm chapter 2. And I want you to look with me at verse number 8. And much of what I'm going to say to you today is not going to be in my notes. For those of you who are new, if you go to thebend.church or thebend.me/notes, it'll take you to all of my notes. There's some things I will share that are not in my notes. Today's going to be one of those days. There's a lot that's not going to be on the screen or in the notes, because the Lord's just talking to me. And I'm just having to let the Holy Spirit kind of lead me and speak to me so that I can share what I feel like He's wanting me to say. I can stand up here today and get you happy, and we can shout, and we can go through a religious ceremony, and I can give you the greatest sermon you've ever heard. I'm not here to give you a homily. I'm here to open up revelation to you. We need revelation to set our community free. I believe, guys, that we've tried to liberate the enslaved out of order. The more I study it, the more I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me, I believe that we've tried to liberate the enslaved out of order. And I believe that's the reason that we haven't had long-lasting results. I believe that is the reason that we will capture territory and then lose territory, because we tried to liberate the enslaved out of order. If you're going to tweet anything I say, tweet that. We have tried to liberate the enslaved out of order. I recently, this last week, listened to the leader of the Billy Graham Association speak about all the revivals and camp meetings and stadium events that Billy Graham had while he was alive. He said that Billy Graham, at the end of his life, made this statement, and I want to read it to you now, and I quote, "What we did was not as impactful as it could have been, because we went after the enslaved, but then introduced them to Christ and put them into churches without revival." I want you to listen to what I believe one of the most integrous men of our time, when it comes to winning the lost, said about liberating the enslaved. He says, "What we did was not as impactful as it could have been, because we introduced people to Christ in our camp meeting services or in our revival services or crusade services, but then turned around and put those people into territories or churches that lacked revival." And I believe what we've done is we have tried to liberate the slave out of order. We haven't redeemed what's been necessary to maintain what God wanted to give to us. The first obligation of the kinsman redeemer, according to the word of God, is to free the land. To free the land. You can't have a free people unless you have a free land. And only a free people can also keep the land free. They work hand in glove. Are y'all still here with me? So if we can't liberate the land, then what we do is we take people, we bring them to Christ, and then put them back into a land that's only going to take everybody back into bondage. So we've got to liberate the land, and we've got to liberate people. This is the reason that we went up here to the school to partner with them. Because right here in our community, the most at-risk school in our community, less than a block or two away from us, has kids and family there. I don't care what their background is. I don't care what their ethnicity is. I don't care what their nationality is. They need Jesus. Jesus is to be given to every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, and every nation. And we didn't go up there and say, "Hey, we want to come in here and preach the Bible." We came up here and said, "We want to come in here and love your teachers. We want to come in here and love your kids. We will come in here and paint your hallway. We're going to trim your bushes. We're going to make this school look the best that it can look." Because for us, trimming that bush is us saying we're redeeming this territory for the cause of Jesus Christ. And what happens is when you start that process, you have a right to speak into the lives of enslaved people. And then we have the best of both worlds. We free the captive and we free the land. God gave Jeremiah a very important instruction. He told Jeremiah in Babylonian captivity, "I want you to go back to Israel and I want you to redeem the land." And gave Jeremiah two scrolls, of which Jeremiah buried in the land before he was ever carried away into captivity 70 years prior. When God spoke to Jeremiah and said, "Go back and buy your cousin's land and redeem the land," do you know where Jeremiah was sitting? In prison. Jeremiah was not a free person trying to go to a free land. No, he was bound. Now, he was free in spirit, but he was in a land of bondage. He was in bondage himself. Let me tell you what I believe God wants to say to a church without revival. And I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about the church at large. The church in America needs an encounter with God. We need an encounter with God. I'll show you how weak our services are. Somebody comes in our church services and they get saved. They have an encounter with God. Our encounters with God are so weak, we send them back out to their world and they can't even live free in their land. It reminds me, I was telling them on the radio this morning, it reminds me of the woman at the well. The woman at the well is completely bound, right? Jesus goes and sits down with her and says, look, I know you've had five husbands and you shacked up with the man you're living with right now, right? But when Jesus preaches freedom to her and brings freedom to the captive, watch the power of the encounter. I'm trying really hard to stay on task, but I feel the Lord this morning stirring me. Watch the power of the encounter. The woman who has a man issue goes into a city full of men. Now, I would have told that woman when she got saved in our altars at church, you need to join one of those Pentecostal churches where they wear their bun, you get around some ladies with no makeup and blue jean skirts down to their ankles. Come on, somebody. Because it's obvious you've got an immorality issue, and the last thing you need to do is go subject yourself to an environment that could drag you back into your immorality. But Jesus knew that his encounter with this woman was bigger than the enslavement of the environment that she came out of. I'm about to preach this thing crazy. And we need to get back to having an encounter with God in our church services that are so powerful that you can take somebody who's a sinner, let them meet Jesus right here in this altar, turn them loose, let them go into a land that is captive, and they'll free the land that they even go to. This woman was so, her life was so turned around by the Jesus that she met. She wasn't worried about wanting another relationship with another man. She already met the man, right? It's like the man in Gadara. Got 6,000 demons on the inside of him. The man gets delivered of the demons. He wants to get in the boat and go with Jesus. What does Jesus say do? Jesus said, no, you need to stay right here. Now, the last thing I would have done is I would have told the man from Gadara, you need to come follow us for a while, become a member of our church, and that way you don't get caught back up in what you got caught up in and end up back down here in these tombs filled with devils again. And I do believe that there is this process called discipleship where you bring people out, you teach them how to walk. But you know what I think we've done? What I think we've done is what the government's trying to do right now. I'm fixing to get ugly now. I think we've done what the government is trying to do right now. We're trying to inoculate instead of infect. Now let me preach. Are y'all going to be all right with this today? So what we do is we give you a vaccine. We'll inoculate you with the flu. It's the fake flu. It's fake flu. Come on, Bill. You know what I'm talking about. It's fake flu. So that you don't have to encounter the real flu. Now let me draw a parallel, because this is what we've done in the body of Christ. We've inoculated people with fake church. We've inoculated people with weak services. We've inoculated people with weak Christianity. And then we turned them and said, you listen, we're doing this because we don't want you to necessarily meet the real thing. Well, what I've come to tell you is I'm tired of being inoculated. I don't want to be vaccinated with church. I want an encounter with heaven. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And just a few days, we're getting ready to open these doors. And what we're saying is, we want God to come and redeem us, and we want God to come and redeem the land. Yeah. Now look at me. How does that happen? It's got to start in your house. Every kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, and every house, every city, and every house. It starts in the house. You got to go home and redeem your homes. You got to tell the enemy, you can't have my home. You can't have my children. You got to make a stand in your home, folks. You've got to get Jesus back in your house. We get Jesus in the house, we can get Jesus in the church. We get Jesus in the church, we can get Jesus in the city. We get Jesus in the city, we can get Jesus in the nation. But we can't do it as long as the house is messed up. So it's got to start right here. This house, then my personal house, and then this house, and then this city that I live in. And folks, today I want us to talk about that just a little bit. Is it all right? for me to talk about that just a little bit. Let me get back to my notes. I don't know why this morning I woke up and I had those thoughts running around in my spirit. We don't want the fake thing anymore. I've been in church 32 years. I've been in some good services. I don't want another good service, folks. I'm sick of good services. I like them. I like people falling out, but that ain't what I want. I want to see all those kids over here at this little school system give their life to Jesus Christ. I want to see all the addicts in my region start laying needles on the altar. I want to see the alcoholics bring their bottles and lay them on the altar. I want to see people's marriages that are falling apart come and get healed and delivered. Stand up, Jason Murphy. This is Jason Murphy. He and his wife are going to a marriage conference. When is the marriage conference?
September 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. That week.
September 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. I want you, if you're a young married couple, or you're a married couple that just needs to get some fresh fire, we got to get Jesus in your house. We got to get you straightened out first. Right there is who you're going to see. They've got brochures setting out here on the center. Go out there and talk to he and his wife. They're going to lead a group. They're going to take you to a marriage retreat. Pam and I are going to try to go on the marriage retreat. I'm so in love now. If I go on that marriage retreat, Pam ain't no telling what's going to happen. I'm just telling you. We got to get Jesus in our house. You say, why are we doing all this? We're doing this because, folks, this is the only way for us to take the land. And God has given us commission. I want us to look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8 and 9. Let's get into our teaching here. Sorry, that was all just, I don't even know if that was introduction. Deuteronomy 32, verses 8 and 9. When the Most High apportioned the nations, when he divided humankind and fixed the boundaries of the people according to the number of the gods, the Lord's own portion was his people, and Jacob was his allotted share. We talked about this briefly, but I'm going to get into it heavy today. When God set the boundaries of nations, according to Deuteronomy 32, when God set the boundaries of nations, he did it according to God's little g. Now, these are angelic, invisible forces. God set the nations. We know, according to the Bible, that there are at least four angels who stand on the four corners of the earth and they hold back the winds that harm the earth. Four angels. There are always four winds that change the course of history. Write them down. Four winds that change the course of history. The wind of war. The wind of economy. The wind of education. And the wind of religion. Every war that has ever been fought has had those four winds blowing in it. Every change in human history has had those four winds blowing in it. According to your Bible, there are angels who stand at the four corners of the earth and they hold the four winds of the earth. So we know that there's invisible forces that are at work, and these invisible forces have set boundaries and territories. Yet the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's. Then in Psalms chapter 2, verse number 8, here's what God says to the bend. God says, ask of me, and I'll give you nations for your inheritance. Here we are, we're believing God for Cookeville. We're believing God for an elementary school. But God's saying to his people, ask me for nations. Redeem the land. Ask me for nations. And look at what he says here. And the ends of the earth for your possession. Could it be that there would be a group of people in Cookeville, Tennessee, that'll say, we're not just satisfied with taking Cookeville. We're not just satisfied with taking Tennessee. We're not just satisfied with America. We believe God for the nations of the world to come to Jesus Christ. And we believe that God can give us possession of nations. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, when I think in those terms, it blows my mind. To think in those terms that Pastor Steve could be going to Kenya here in a few weeks and God can give Kenya as a possession to Pastor Steve. All somebody's got to do is believe me. God says, ask of me. Say that with me. ask of me, and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. And notice, and you shall break them with a rod of iron. God says, I'm going to give you the land, but you got to redeem it. It's just like when he told Joshua, I'm going to give you the land, but you're going to have to run out the giants that are in the land. Folks, if you think the devil is just going to give up Cookeville, if you think the demons that hold this territory captive are just going to walk out because we have planted a church or because any other church is in town, that is not how it's going to be. We are going to have to run some devils out of our community. And I'm not talking about people here. I'm talking about spiritual, territorial spirits that have held areas and regions captive for millennia. But yet God says, if you will ask me, come on, is there anybody in the bin willing to ask God for Cookeville today? Can we start there? Ask God for Cookeville today. God, give us Cookeville for an inheritance. Give us land for an inheritance. Help us to redeem the land. Help us to set the captive free. This is what God is wanting out of the church. He said, and you'll break them with a rod of iron. You'll dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. He's talking to you and I, folks. Be instructed, you judges, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Folks, we have more authority in the realm of the Spirit than we think we have. Yes, there are territorial spirits that are holding the land captive, but God is asking us to step in to take the land. Now, when God told Joshua to go in and possess the land, and to run out the giants of the land, the enemies of the land. Here's what he said. He said, when you go into this land and when you take the land, do not bring false gods back in it. Don't allow the people to worship false gods, little g. Because with these false gods come these spirits that have held the territory captive. Y'all tracking with me? With these false gods are spirits that have held the territory captive. So when you come back into this land, you possess the land, tell the children of Israel, this is their possession. But if they allow false gods to come in here, these same spirits that held the other people captive will come in and hold them people captive. It doesn't matter if you speak in tongues. Don't matter if you go to church every Sunday. If you allow false gods to come into the territory, they will come in and bind your children again. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. So we've got to, when we take the land, we've got to also maintain the land. When we run the giants out of the land, we've got to also preserve the integrity of the land and not allow these false spirits to encroach back in on our children and on our children's children, or else everything we work for will be for naught. So when God said, I've apportioned all of these territories, and there's different spirits over these territories, but the sons of Jacob, I've apportioned this land. He's talking about the land of Israel. He said, this is their territory, and you maintain that territory. And listen to me, folks. Today we can be satisfied with having a little church on the corner here in 1810 North Dixie. Or we could go after the full possession. I feel the prophetic on me this morning. So we can go after the full possession of everything that God wants to give us. And I'm not talking about just us as a church family. I'm talking about you as an individual. What is it that God's told you to do? What is it that God has promised you? I'm telling you, don't be satisfied with just taking a little bit of the portion that God has promised you. If God's made you a promise, you reach out and you take full possession of the land and the inheritance that God has made you. Don't allow the devil to push you around. Don't allow the people to talk you out of it. You press in and you refuse to be denied the full possession. For God says everywhere that you'll set the sole of your spiritual foot, you can have it as a possession. When you get out of your car today in a parking lot somewhere to eat lunch, put your foot on it and say, Lord, I claim this territory right here for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When we go up to that school and we take out hedge clippers everywhere you put the sole of your foot, don't just cut the grass. Come on, put your foot on it spiritually and say, this land right here belongs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and these little kids shall know Jesus as Savior. Come on, this is spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare. You say, Pastor, I'm not strong enough. Oh, yes, you are. If you got the Holy Ghost on the inside, if you got the Word of God, if you got the name of Jesus, if you've been washed in the blood, listen to what the Scripture says. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You're more than strong enough. Come on, somebody. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. Trying to stir you up to believe for bigger. Trying to stir you up to believe for more. We cannot be satisfied. We cannot be satisfied. Hear me today. I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. You're on the cusp of something. God's getting ready to move like you've never seen Him before, move before. We cannot be satisfied. And we can't do what everybody else is doing. Have a great speaker in. Get all excited, have a church service, and as soon as they leave, us go back to normal church. We can't do that. Throw that mess out the window. That is not who we are as a church. We're going to contend for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost like the world has never seen. We're not going to stop till God moves in signs and wonders and miracles. Come on, if I got anybody in the house agree, can we put a praise on that? Somebody say yes and amen. I want you to go over here to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Let's look at this for just another minute, and then I'm going to let you go. This morning, I woke up with this kind of edge on me. I've kind of been like in a tunnel all morning. And some of the people that have been around tell me, they'll tell you, when I get in this tunnel and the Spirit of God starts moving in me like this, I've seen God do some of the most amazing things. I also know spiritual warfare always comes and tries to stop any move of God. But I'm telling you right now, the devil don't have a chance. The devil don't have a chance because I can't lose if I don't quit. And I'm not going to quit this morning. I'm not going to quit this morning. Daniel chapter 10, look at verse 12, 13, and we're going to look at verse 20. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel. Now, Daniel's in Babylon. For from the first day that thou didst set your heart to understand, to chasten yourself before God, your words were heard. And I came for thy words. I came for thy words. Did you know God is waiting on some of us to say something? I came for your words. The Lord's tickling me again. I want us to go over here to Ezekiel chapter 36. Hold your place there in Daniel. We're going to come back to it. Daniel's in Babylon. He's needing God to do a work. He's crying out to God. Ezekiel chapter 36. I shared this Wednesday night, and I didn't hardly even get into it, and I probably won't get into it today, but Ezekiel 36, verse number 1, and you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. Did you know the enemy's talking about Cookeville? The enemy over this region has said, oh, look at this. We have it as our possession. There's a territorial spirit, just like what Daniel was fighting. We're going to read about in a minute. Over Babylon. Aha, this is our possession. It belongs to me. Demon spirit saying, this belongs to us. We talked about gates. One of the gates of our community is going to be Tennessee Tech University. You want to take this city? You're going to have to take Tennessee Tech. So y'all need to believe God for Tennessee Tech. You want to take the city, you got to take Tech. I'm just telling you how it's going to be. Right? People say, well, I want to tell you, there's demon spirits. Say, oh, we got Tennessee Tech. We got it. Well, listen to what God said. Son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say to the mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. For thus says the Lord, because the enemy has said, I got you. You belong to me. You're my possession. Verse number 3, therefore you prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, because they made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side so that you became a possession for the rest of the nations, and you are taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by people. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys, to the desolate places, to the school systems, to Tennessee Tech University, to medical institutions, to mountains of economy and finance, to the political sector. Hear the word of the Lord. You can be mocked. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, verse 5, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy. Can I tell every demon spirit that is holding Cookeville, there is a jealous God who is jealous over the people of Cookeville, Tennessee, and he's about to say something in our region. Verse number 6, therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel. And say to the mountains and the hills and the rivers and the valley, thus says the Lord God, I have spoken in my jealousy, my fury, because you have borne the shame of nations. In other words, God says, you speak to the land. You speak to the land. Listen, the enemy's speaking. Ah, gotcha. Somebody in here has got to speak to the land. Now go back over here to Daniel chapter 10. Look at what is happening. Daniel is in the land of bondage. Daniel is needing deliverance. He said, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand, to chasten yourself before God, your words were heard, and I came for your words. Quit talking about what the devil's doing in your community and start talking about what God wants to do in your community. Quit talking about what you see with poverty and start seeing how God sees the eyes of this community. Quit walking around complaining about the homeless sitting on the street corner and start getting the mind of God and speak life over the homeless standing on the street corner. We can either curse or bless, but we can't do both at the same time. You can't have blessing and cursing coming out of the same fountain. So if there's cursing coming out of your mouth, there's a fountain that's in you that isn't God, because God said to bless and to not curse. You lift up your voice and you speak the blessing of God. God's been convicting me on this. Drive around, speak the blessing. When you go through the valley, say, this valley gonna run green with the glory of Almighty God. This mountain is gonna be full of the presence of the Lord. These people are going to have an encounter with the glory of God. Start speaking the blessing of God. Quit complaining. Light a candle. Quit complaining. Light a candle. Anybody can complain about the darkness. It takes some people with some intestinal fortitude to light a candle in the midst of the darkness. We are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Quit complaining. Light a candle. I came for your words. Verse 13, he said, but. Everybody say, but. But the prince of Persia withstood me. Now, this is a prince spirit in the atmosphere. 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Here's another prince spirit on God's side. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. And then he said, knowest thou where I've come to you? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. Do you know what he's saying here? He's saying there are chief spirits, false gods, spirits that are in the territory, and fallen angels that are in the territory, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this present world, spiritual wickedness in high places. They are in the they're in the atmosphere over the territory. But when you started praying for deliverance, help me, Jesus. When you started praying for deliverance, when you started praying for me to move, when you started believing me for the miraculous, when you started believing me for souls to be saved, he said, I heard it. The first word, the first time you cried out, God said, I heard it. And he said, I sent an angel down to you. He said, but the problem was I had a warfare in the realm of the spirit. Thank God Daniel didn't quit after he said it the first time. He just kept praying. I'm telling you, it might take 21 days to get an answer. I don't know. But here's what I do know. There's going to come some angelic forces who are going to fight for the Bend Church and fight for your family. And on the other side of this thing, you're going to come out on the winning side, because there's more that be with us than there are that be with them. We don't believe in this spiritual stuff. That's our problem. So we try to make everything fleshly. We fight in the flesh. We wear ourselves out in the flesh. But folks, you can't win this battle. I don't care if it's the Prince of Persia or the Prince of Greece or it's the Prince of Cookeville, Tennessee or the Prince of Tennessee. I don't care what it is. I'm just telling you that there are boundaries that have been set by spirits. They have been set by spirits, but there is something called the Holy Ghost on the inside of it. Remember I told you about the four winds? Four winds, the winds of war, the winds of economy, the winds of education, and the winds of religion, how they shape America? Those four winds? Well, there's another wind that shapes the world. It started in Acts chapter 2, and suddenly there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind out of heaven, and it filled all the house with their setting. You know what we need right now? Quit worrying about the wind of war, the wind of politics. Quit worrying about vaccine. Quit worrying about all kinds of religious stuff. We need the wind of the Holy Ghost to come and blow in America again. Come on, we need the wind of the Holy Ghost to come and blow in America again. I'm stirred up about this wind. I want it to blow till these kids are so on fire, can't nobody shut them up. I want it to blow till every backslider comes back to an altar. I want it to blow till every prodigal comes home. I want it to blow. I'm talking about the wind of the Holy Ghost. I'm tired of playing church. I want the real thing, baby. Sit down. Here's the question. We going to just clap for it or we going to contend for it? Because I'm going to contend for it. If it's just me and my wife, I'm going to contend for it. I can't live without it. I tried to live without it. I've tried to do church without it. You can't do it. You can't begin in the spirit and end in the flesh. And I'm kind of glad right now we don't have lights, cameras, and action. I'm not against any of that. I love all of that. I do. I love all that. But I want to tell you something. We've gotten so used to being entertained that we haven't had an encounter with a living God. And I'm tired of being entertained. I want an encounter with the living God. You say, well, this church is just too rowdy for me. You're going to really have some problems in heaven. You know, in heaven, the Bible says it's like the voice of many waters. What you going to do when the Africans over here worshiping and Arabs over here worshiping and everybody's got their genres going? It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be rowdy. Habakkuk said, he put it to Shigonoth. It's the Hebrew word Shigonoth. It means wild, crazy, enthusiastic music and dancing. You know what heaven's going to be like? Like the best party you ever went to in your life. And there ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Come on, say that with me. There ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. I got to finish up here. Y'all are pushing me. I'm sorry. Adam's trying. He's really trying hard. He's wanting me to give, yeah. Luke chapter 11. Let's look at Luke chapter 11 real quick here. Luke chapter 11, verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeks rest, finds none, says to himself, I will return to my house. Listen to the words. It's my house. I'm going to go back to my house. Now, the Bible says he's an unclean spirit. He's unwarranted. He's illegal. He's trespassing. He goes out of a house and walks around and says, I'm going to go back to my house. Listen to what the devil's saying about Cookeville. It's my house. Hold it for a second, son. This is my house. Is it his house? No, it's not his house. He's unclean. He's illegal. He's trespassing. It ain't his house. But he's going to try to maintain it as his house. You can kick him out. He's going to try to come back. This is what I meant when I talked about it at the front. We've tried to liberate the enslaved out of order. So what we do is we get somebody, we get the evil spirit out, but we never really dealt with the house. We never really dealt with the territory. It's got to be both. We got to ask God to help us. Give us a word. Give us avenues, gates to go in and possess the land. And it won't come through Pastor Shane. I'm telling you right now, it won't come through Pastor Shane. It'll come through you. God has you positioned in strategic places to take territory. If it's business, be the best spirit-filled business person Cookeville's ever seen and take Jesus into the territory. If it's law, be the best. Because the unclean spirit's going to try to come and say, this is his house. Again, notice, the enemy's talking about the house. They're not going to give up territory easy. They're not going to walk out just because we walk in. Just because we have cute church doesn't impress. The devil's not impressed with our cute church. Not at all. We're going to have to take authority. We're going to have to rise up and take authority. Whew. Either it's getting hotter in here or I'm on fire, one of the two. Look at verse 25. And when he cometh, he finds it swept and garnished. Then he goes and he takes to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and they dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse. Notice the house isn't a physical house, it's a man. I get him out. Look at me. Listen to me. We get people who are enslaved, we bring them to an altar, we get Jesus in them, we get the house swept, and you know what we do? We say, well, God bless you. And then we send them right back out here into a land that's in bondage. That old evil spirit just goes out and gets seven more worse than him and says, I got to go back and possess that house. So we got to have some power. You know where it's going to come from? The Holy Ghost. Now look at me. Everybody else don't want to talk about the Holy Ghost because it's messy. Because he might show up with tongues and interpretation of tongues and you can't control the service. Or he might show up in prophecy. Or you know what? You might not even get to preach. He might show up and people start getting slain in the spirit and you can't explain that to your friends that don't know Jesus. You know what I've learned? I've learned religious people get freaked out about that stuff, and lost people walk out and say, I don't understand that, but I'd like to go try that one time, see if they can push me down on the floor. Yeah. Right? We've got to lose our fear of being cute with our religion. We don't need to be inoculated with something. We need the real thing, right? The only thing that's going to keep this from those evil spirits coming is we got to have the Holy Ghost, which means everybody in this place needs to get so full of the Holy Spirit of God. You need to discover what a prayer language is. You need to be praying in the Holy Spirit. Maybe God sent me back to Cookeville to revive a little bit of that charismatic fire that we used to have years ago that we have lost. We need to get full of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that there's an army of people that's just hiding out in homes, praying in their spirit, hungry for a move of God, just don't know what to do with themselves, just hungry, waiting for somebody to allow God to show up. And when that happens, folks, you're going to see revival like this community has never seen before. And I'm telling you, it'll be so out of control, it'll be like an avalanche just running over the top of everything. It's coming. It's coming. Was that lightning or God? Sound like something. I don't know what it was. All right. I'm going to quit today because I've done lost you. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. I don't know why I have that song in my house. It's a big, big house. With lots and lots of food. We can play football. Y'all heathens. Are y'all ready? We're going to make some declarations over our land, over our territory, over our lives. Are y'all ready? Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 10 and 11, just look on the screen. It'll be on the screen. Let me know when it gets up there. Ephesians 3. And I about drove the media guys crazy because I'm bouncing all over the place. They're trying to find it. Last three scriptures. Whew. All right, y'all ready? Ephesians 3:10. God's purpose. Y'all ready? I don't think we're on 3:10. Am I on 3:10? Yeah, we're good. God's, and this is the New Living Translation here. Listen to this. It says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him up from the dead. Y'all better say it out loud. And seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Come on, shout it out. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And God has put all things under his feet. He's gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We've got an undefeated, undisputed champion of the universe who is the head of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 talks about us in verse 5 and 7. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and he has raised us up together. Say it. He has raised us up together. He's made us sit together in heavenly places. Say it. He's made us sit heavenly in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It started with Jesus on the cross. Jesus dealt a terrible blow to the forces of darkness. He let all of these prince spirits know, there's a new king in town. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. It started on the cross. It started with Jesus. He became the head of the church. He got up to heaven. God seated him far above all principalities, power, might, and dominion. Everything that is named in heaven and earth and even under the earth. Everything is under his feet. And then everybody who came to Jesus Christ in faith, confessed his name, washed in the blood, surrendered their life to Christ, God has also raised us up together and made us to sit in the heavenly places. Listen, in Christ Jesus. Everybody say in. Do you know where you're at? You're not seated around the throne. You're seated in the throne in him. I'm in Christ and Christ in me, the hope of glory. In Christ and Christ in me. So I want you to think about this. Think about the authority that you have. You're in Christ and Christ is in you. You're seated right there at the right hand of the Father. He's not ashamed, according to Hebrews, to call us his brethren. Which means, ladies and gentlemen, anything that God will do for Jesus, God will do for you. You are seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. Well, listen, if he's far above all principalities, power, might, and dominion, listen, you are also far above all principalities, power, might, and dominion. What's the enemy doing in your house? You're far above it. What's the enemy doing in your family? You're far above it. What's the enemy doing in your money? You're far above it. What's the enemy doing in your community? Come on, you're far above it. Refuse to lose. Refuse to back down. Refuse to faint. Refuse to, come on, get your strength from the Holy Ghost. The reason you're tired is because you're fighting with your flesh. Let it go. The weapons of your warfare are not fleshly. They're not carnal. We fight with prayer. We fight with the Word of God. We fight with the name of Jesus. We fight with the blood of Jesus Christ. What you need to do is just rise up and say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood over my family. I plead the blood over my school system. I plead the blood over my community. Come on, lift those holy hands to heaven. Father, we know that you have raised us up and made us to sit together in the heavenly places. And Lord, today I could have come in here and I could have just given a little sermonette and done what a lot of preachers do. Give a sermonette, go out and smoke a cigarette, drive around in my Corvette, and then one day hope I get enough money that I can retire at. But that's not where I'm at in you, God. I'm not there. I'm not one of those preachers. God, I'm here today because I'm hungry for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm hungry to see God do. And I'm tired of hearing the old timers talk about what God did in days gone by. I thank God for what you did in the past. But Lord, I'm crying out like the prophet. Do it again, as Haggai said. Do it again in my day. Do it again in my time. Let my grandson and my granddaughter see the move of the Holy Ghost. Let these young people in here see the fire of God. Let them see heaven come to earth. We're here to contend for revival, Lord. We're contending for a move of God. Help us to take territory. Help us to step into the land. Give us ideas. Give us ideas. Give us your schemes, the schemes of heaven, of where to go, what to do, whether it's a school system like you just gave us. Lord, just that little bit of giving a little offering to a school system, what that might do, the people that'll be saved. Give us ingenious ideas of how to take this territory. And God, raise up leaders out of this church. Raise up the future mayors and the future lawyers and doctors and business people. Raise them up out of this church, God. Raise up, Father, future politicians. Maybe the next president of the United States is sitting under the sound of my voice. And when they get to the Oval Office in the White House, they'll hear and remember the words that pastor. I might even be dead and gone at that time, but they'll hear the words of their pastor ringing in their ears that God has raised them up to take the land back and redeem the land for the cause of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. I need every hand lifted. And for the next 30 seconds, let's press into the prayer.
Make this a house of prayer. Let the fire of our altar never burn out. Let the fire of my altars never burn out. Let the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
Come on, sing that, church.
Let the fire of my altar never burn out. Let the fire of my altar never burn out. Let the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. Say, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
Here's what we're going to do. He's going to continue to sing that. I want my prayer team to come back up here. If you're in here today and you used to serve Jesus and now you're away from Him, this is your opportunity to come. If you're in here today, you used to be on fire for God and now you're not on fire for God, it's time to come on and get some more fire put on the altar of your heart today. We're just going to do this for just a moment. If you need to be dismissed, you can be dismissed. If you need to leave, you can leave. We love you. But I'm telling you right now, there's people in here that you say the enemy's trying to steal my fire, but the fire of my altar is never going to go out. I'm going today to get my fire back. I'm going to get my fire back. I feel like the Lord's calling some prodigals. You're in here and you used to be on fire, but you've not been on fire in a long time. Come on, sing, son.
Make me a house.
If the Lord's talking to you, get out of your seat. Come right here. Let me pray for you.
A house of prayer. Oh, a house of prayer.
Oh,
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer. And let the fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
Come on.
May the fire of my altar never burn out.
May the fire of my altar never burn out.
May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
May the fire of my altar never burn out.
Our prayer.
May the fire of my altar never burn.
My altar.
May the fire of my altar never burn. May the fire of my altar never burn. Make me a house of prayer.
Come on, let's give the Lord a praise in this room. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right.